Today's New Testament reading is from Acts, the 13th chapter. Now Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. And John left them and returned to Jerusalem. But they went on from Perga and came to Antioch in Pisidia. And on the Sabbath day they went into the synagogue and sat down. After the reading from the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent a message to them, saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement for the people, say it." So Paul stood up, and motioning with his hand, said, "Men of Israel, and you who fear God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers, and made the people great during their stay in the land of Egypt, and with uplifted arm he led them out of it. And for about 40 years he put up with them in the wilderness. And after destroying 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he gave them their land as an inheritance. All this took about 450 years. And after that he gave them judges, until Samuel the prophet. Then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. And when he had removed him, he raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, 'I have found in David the son of Jesse a man after my heart, who will do all my will.' Of this man's offspring, God has brought to Israel a Savior, Jesus, as he promised. Before his coming, John had proclaimed a baptism of repentance to all the people of Israel. And as John was finishing his course, he said, 'What do you suppose that I am? I am not he. No, but behold, after me one is coming, the sandals of whose feet I am not worthy to untie.' Brothers, sons of the family of Abraham, and those among you who fear God, to us has been sent the message of this salvation. For those who live in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they did not recognize him nor understand the utterances of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, fulfilled them by condemning him. And though they found in him no guilt worthy of death, they asked Pilate to have him executed. And when they had carried out all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a tomb. But God raised him from the dead. And for many days he appeared to those who had come up with him from Galilee to Jerusalem, who are now his witnesses to the people. And we bring you the good news that what God promised to the fathers, this he has fulfilled to us their children by raising Jesus. As also it is written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, today I have begotten you.' And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption, he has spoken in this way, 'I will give you the holy and sure blessings of David.' Therefore he also says in another psalm, 'You will not let your Holy One see corruption.' For David, after he had served the purpose of God in his own generation, fell asleep, and was laid with his fathers, and saw corruption. But he whom God raised up did not see corruption. Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses. Beware, therefore, lest what is said in the prophets should come about. Look, you scoffers, be astounded and perish, for I am doing a work in your days, a work that you will not believe, even if one tells it to you. This is the word of the Lord." For today's meditation on God's Word, we welcome Pastor Saul Groskopf from Redemption Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you all from our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for today is from Acts chapter 13, verses 13 through 41. Let's look specifically at verse 34, in which we hear St. Paul declare, "And as for the fact that he raised him from the dead, no more to return to corruption." So ends our text. This important declaration of St. Paul is claiming that Jesus rising from the dead is the fulfillment of the promise God had made to his people of old. This bold claim is preceded by a summary of the story of salvation as told by the scriptures up to the point of Jesus Christ. Before even mentioning Jesus Christ, St. Paul includes a summary, a Reader's Digest version of the Old Testament stories and prophecies. St. Paul takes us back to almost the very beginning of time when God chose the people of Israel to be his people. And yet St. Paul ends with the story of Jesus Christ and therefore points us forward to the end of time when all believers will share in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that comes through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In verse 34, we see a tiny but important word for today, that, or hoti in the Greek. This word is extremely important because it is causal in that it was God who caused Jesus to return from the dead. This resurrection is more than just Jesus walking the earth again. Jesus was raised in such a way that he would never again taste death. In essence, the text says, "And he was raised from the dead in such a way as never again to return to decay." Throughout the scriptures, we hear examples such as Lazarus and others who were brought back from the dead, but went on to once again die. Yet now Jesus has been raised from the dead, incorruptible, never to see corruption, and thus be the eternal messianic king. This is the very core of the gospel, that we have a hope in a new life where we will never taste death again. We put our trust in a Savior who suffered, died, but rose again to never die again. When we bury our friends, parents, family members, or even children, we grieve and we suffer. Every funeral service has the illustration of sin contained in a box, death. Today I have seen a growing problem, not with people looking to Christ for guidance, because many are willing to do that, but rather people not looking to Christ for salvation. There is a prevailing belief in our society that as long as you treat your neighbor with respect, you give to charity, you try to do your best, you recycle, you do all the good things you can do, then you are a good person. Christ is no longer important for your forgiveness of sins, but for moral guidance on how to be a better person. Yet at funerals, we still grieve. We still see the effects that no matter how good a person has tried to be, all of us are corrupted and tainted by sin and shall taste death. Yet when we look to Christ for our salvation, when the Holy Spirit works faith in our hearts, when Christ's word and sacraments work in our lives, we might grieve at the death of others, but we can grieve as those who have hope for a new life. We know there is a new life in and with Christ, where those people will never have to experience death again. St. Paul declares towards the end of our reading for today, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you, and by him everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." St. Paul declared that Christ was more than anything the world had seen before throughout their history. Christ was the fulfillment of all that was spoken by the prophets of the Old Testament and was indeed the Savior of the world before and after his time walking the earth. That declaration that Christ is the Messiah, that Christ is our Savior, is of the same importance for us today as when St. Paul spoke them nearly 2,000 years ago. Amen.
We thank Pastor Saul Groskopf from Redemption Lutheran Church in Bloomington, Minnesota, for today's meditation on God's Word.